If you have your Bibles this morning, of course, I pray that you do. Open them with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you get to the book of Hebrews and Revelation, you've gone too far. Back up a little bit. Right before Hebrews, even before Titus, is 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 17. 14 through 17. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, we are continuing in our series called Born. We've been looking at things that we were not only physically born into, but things that we were born again into. And this morning, there could not be a more simple title for Mother's Day than Born Origin or Born Origins. See, all of you have a born origin, and that origin is from a mother. I don't know where your mother's at in your life for influence anymore, but all of us have that same thing in common. We all came from a mom. And today is a worthy day to celebrate moms, to remember moms. And what I'm going to do is challenge mothers. Yes, the application that I'm talking about of a mother, especially the legacy of a faithful mother, is going to be applicable to fathers, grandmothers, and grandfathers, and anybody who is willing to take the time to influence and disciple another. But because our passage of Scripture has a legacy of faith of both a grandmother and also a mother over their son's life, we're going to focus on the legacy of a faithful mother today. But before we get started, there's just some things that I always like to acknowledge on Mother's Day, because if we don't, I think we miss some things. First of all, most of us are celebrating on Mother's Day. Moms, this is the one day of the year, maybe the weekend of the year. Dads, if you're getting better at it, it's more than just today. You're doing things for your wife, doing things for your mom. Maybe you're washing the dishes for her. Yeah, I had someone in the first service go, I was like, yeah, he should be doing that for you. Cleaning the house for you, taking you out to eat. I don't know how you celebrate Mother's Day, but usually there's a lot of happiness associated with it. But usually when there's times of great happiness, there's also times of great sadness and sorrow. And I think we need to acknowledge that today. That there are many women in this world, some of you may be here today, that desperately want to be that mom dedicating her child, but you cannot have children. And today's hard for you. I'm sorry. I know it's hard. I've been praying for you specifically all week. For other mothers, you may have had a child, but in our misunderstanding of what's going on in God's providence, that child is now gone, is passed on in the next life. And today brings up those memories, and so you're a lot of pain. I've been grieving with you. You've been on my mind all week as well. Some of you here today are maybe a woman who wants to be a mother, and you're single, and you haven't done that yet. It's okay. God will give you the time. And others who are mothers saying, it's a day of celebration, but it's hard. I'm a single mom. All of that you don't have can be on your mind when you walk in today. Let's just acknowledge it. Let's just put it out there. And I want to tell you, I felt that all week as well. I've been praying for you. But let's just take a moment and let those things be true, but then let's also bring God's Word on the same platform and see the things that not only we don't have in this world, but let's see the things that we do have and can have in Him, and see if His Word can't bring some guidance and comfort this morning. And especially for those Christian mothers that are here today, those Christian grandmothers that are here today, come to God's Word with me with an open mind and a prepared ahead of time, diligent heart, and let's see what He has set out before you, so that what we see in the grandmother of Timothy and the mother of Timothy, this kind of amazing faith, let's see if God will not bless you to have that same faith and see if you cannot have the same influence on your sons and your daughters as well. 2 Timothy is a fantastic book because most scholars believe it was Paul's last written letter. These are the last things that Paul would have said in written communication to anyone, and he chooses to say them to Timothy. There are lots of encouraging and even uplifting and convicting messages, but right here, as he's starting to drive towards the end of the letter, reread in verses 14 through 17. Let's stand together. 2 Timothy 3:14, he says, "You, however," Paul talking to Timothy, "continue." This is the major command of our passage today. "I command you," you could say, "continue in these things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Take a time machine to the past, Timothy. That's what he's telling them to do. "And from that, from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And yes, in the same context of that legacy of faith, Paul says this in verse 16. "All scripture that you use and those in your life used to help you come to faith, all that scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that every man of God and woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." This is God's word. Please be seated. What a perfect passage of scripture for Mother's Day. Moms, I'm talking to you mostly this morning, that you would leave a legacy of faith that prepares your children to abide in Christ and that is founded on and in the scriptures. Let's start in verse 14 and see how a faithful mother passes her abiding faith on to her children. I would say that's the first thing you should consider passing on to your children. That is the most important thing you should pass on to your children. In fact, if you don't pass anything else on to your children, pass on the abiding faith that you have in Christ. Paul says, "You, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from you whom you have learned them." Paul is writing Timothy, in fact, both letters that he's written to Timothy, in some pretty tough circumstances. Timothy is a young pastor of a church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a pagan city with all kinds of pagan and heathen practices. Timothy had a hard time just being in the city. But on top of that, his church was a bit of a mess when he got there. He just finished telling Timothy that there are going to be men in your church going from bad to worse. The context of the situation, Timothy, that you're in, I know it's bad, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. And in fact, when it gets better, it's probably going to get bad again. He's setting him up for this. He knows where Timothy is living and what he is dealing with, the context in which he is the pastor. So he wants to remind him of something encouraging. He's already told Timothy, people in your church are going to love money more than they love God. People in your church, he's already told them, they're going to want their ears tickled. What that means is that people in your church, Timothy, are going to want you to preach messages to them that they want to hear. They are not going to want you to preach messages to them that they don't want to hear. So is the plight of every pastor. And in the middle of telling Timothy, setting up Timothy, it's going to be tough, buddy. He says, here's what I want to give you as the first bit of encouragement. And then the rest of the book is going to be spent encouraging Timothy to stick to the principles that Paul wants him to have as his spiritual father and as his pastoral mentor. And the first thing that he says is continue. Continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of. This word continue is one of my favorite Greek words. It's the word meno, and it's usually translated abide. And you know how much I love that word abide. Talk about it all the time, and especially recently in messages. And I love that word abide because it describes this unending, continual, daily, passionate relationship that we have with Christ like a vine or a branch does with his vine. I mean, life-giving all the time. But I actually agree with the translation of the NASB when it says continue here. See, Paul is bringing to Timothy's mind things of the past. Timothy, take a trip with me and in your own mind down memory lane. And when you go back far enough, you're going to find some things that you'd already learned long before I met you. I want you to remain in them. Another translation could be, I want you to be immersed in them. I want you to abide in them. I want you to literally continue in them. See, Timothy's faith that Paul has seen did not start with Paul. The question that comes up in this passage of Scripture is, when is Paul talking about? Who is Paul talking about? For Timothy to remember, what period of life was that in for Timothy that Paul wants him to continue in those things that he learned back then? When you ask yourself the question, who influenced Timothy? Who taught Timothy these things that Paul wants Timothy to continue in? Your first response would kind of instinctively be, well, it's Paul. Paul was the mentor of Timothy. And although it's true that Paul influenced Timothy, we learn in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, who Paul is talking about in the period of life that Paul wants Timothy to go to. And here's where mothers and grandmothers come in. Look at 2 Timothy 1:5 if you want to find out who taught these things to Timothy that Paul wants Timothy to remember. He says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you." Paul's already seen it. "Which first dwelt within your grandmother, Lois, and then in your mother, Eunice. And I am sure," means I'm convinced, "that it's in you as well." Yes, Paul influenced Timothy, but the things that Timothy was taught that Paul wants him to remember to help him endure the hard times that are ahead are the things that were passed down to him from his mother. The things from the Scriptures that were passed down to him from his grandmother. It was this legacy of faith. He knows that he's going to need to cling to those things for the tough times ahead. One thing seems obvious, that the continuance of faith that Paul is speaking about here is the opposite of what he will see in his church. If you look back at verse 13, he says, "Evil men in your church, they're imposters. They will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in what you have learned," meaning from your mother and your grandmother. He's not just asking Timothy to remember some kind of nostalgic good times and maybe funny stories from his mom, although those are worth remembering. You probably remember some of those as well, like when your mom told you, "Well, if you're just going to do anything everybody else is, if your friends decide to go jump off a bridge, I guess you're going to jump off the bridge with them," right? Or when your mom looks at you and you're making some kind of ugly face at dinner or something that she's told you to do and you don't want to do it, and she's like, "You know, if you keep looking like that, it's going to stay, or it's going to stick." Other things like, if you don't have something nice to say to your brother and sister, what is that? Don't say anything at all. Those are actually good things, they're good principles, and they're good memories, but it's deeper than that. It's deeper than just walking down the memory lane of the good times that you had with your mother and grandmother. No, I want you to remember the spiritual things that they taught you. I want you to remember the things that they taught you from the Scriptures and they taught you about Jesus Christ that led to your faith in Him. Those are the things I want you to hold on to, because those are the things that are going to get you through the hard times. He says, "Timothy, you've already been convinced of these things." This word "convinced" is actually a compound word in Greek, and it can also mean firmly founded. It's in the passive tense, which is Paul telling Timothy, these things that you've been convinced of, they are your foundation that you stand upon. But the passive voice means that this is not a foundation that you built for yourself. See, Timothy couldn't convince himself that these things are true alone. Somebody taught him these things. And those people who taught him these things were his grandmother, his mother, and the Apostle Paul. Ultimately, it was God that established this firm foundation in Timothy. He says, "That's the foundation that I want you to go back to in your memory. That's the foundation that I want you to stand upon, to build upon, and that's the legacy I want you to live in and to live up to." This passage of Scripture to me is beautiful for Mother's Day. Timothy's faith was taught to him by the women in his life as they shared these things with him from the Scriptures. Once Timothy received this faith as learned from the scriptures, as taught to him from his mother and his grandmother. He abided in that faith. And Paul says, that faith that was taught to you by them, those things that they taught you, the example that they gave you, remain in that. Continue in it. That is my command for you. And I think about mothers and grandmothers today, but especially mothers. What an awesome opportunity you have. What a scary responsibility that you bear. I ask you today to abide in Christ. Moms, abide with Christ daily and let the fruit of that abiding relationship that you have in Christ be the faith that you pass on to your children and grandchildren as of first importance. Paul didn't bring up any other story, any other memory in Timothy's mind about his mother, his grandmother, outside of the faith that they passed on to him. That's the single greatest gift, moms, you could give to your children and children. I would say today, if you do not have faith, that is the single greatest gift you could give to your mother on Mother's Day. Don't do it for her. Do it for God and His glory, but what a great gift that would be to believe in Christ on Mother's Day. Moms, live in such a way that your child or that person that you influence in your home would be able to look back on the foundation that you left for them and stand on it in the dark days of their life. I ask you a question like this. When your child is older and they're facing the dire circumstances, maybe the most dire circumstances of their lives, will they be able to lean on the God that you introduced them to? Will they be able to live in the legacy of faith that you left for them to fulfill? In other words, what's your inheritance that you're leaving for your children, Mom? And I'm not talking about the money or the things of this world. What's the inheritance of faith that you're leaving for your children? Because that's the stuff that will matter when you're gone. That's the stuff that will matter when the rubber meets the road, if you will, in your children's life. This application is perfect for a mom because you can look directly in Timothy's life and see his influence. But it has a much broader application for the rest of us who are here today. See, Paul is not talking to mom specifically. He's talking to Timothy. Timothy's in the dark days of his life, struggling in the church that he is pastoring. Timothy, as he looks out into the future, all he can see is troubled, dark days ahead. Maybe that's you today. Maybe when you look towards Monday, Tuesday, the rest of the week, and all the weeks in your foreseeable future, all you can see are dark days. Maybe you know that they're coming and you're wondering, how am I going to make it through those days? Maybe you're here today and those dark days aren't in the future. Those dark days are now. Maybe you're looking face to face with a financial crisis. Maybe your family situation is crumbling around you. Maybe your work situation is so bad you don't know if you want to wake up and go there on Monday. The dark days have found you. I want to do for you, what Paul did for Timothy. I command you to continue in the things of Christ that you have learned in the past, that you've already been convinced of, and remember those who taught those things to you. Cling to that faith in Christ that you once learned. Cling to the principles of Christ that you were once taught from His Word by the people that you love. That is what's going to get you through the dark days of tomorrow. If you're sitting here thinking, I don't know if I can get through these days, Pastor, remember that you don't have to face them alone. You're incapable of facing them alone on your own. Christ has already faced the darkest days of your life for you. He bore your sin on the cross. The wrath of God that you deserved, He set upon Himself and absorbed it. He died in your place. And He proved how powerful He was when He rose from the dead. The same Christ that saved you is the Christ that will get you through the dark days. Go back to that gospel that you learned, whatever time it was, whatever day of your salvation, whatever season your salvation was, and remember those principles that those people in your life taught you as you were in that season. Cling to the stuff that matters during the hard times. A faithful mother passes on her abiding faith to her children. What could be more important? But not only did Paul want Timothy to abide in that legacy of faith, he also, Timothy, he wanted Timothy to remember those specific people in his life that taught him. Look at verses 14 and 15. We see a faithful mother teaches her family. One way that Paul wanted Timothy to stay strong and to make it through was from remembering those whom you learned this faith from. And then in verse 14, he even clarifies a time period that you've known from your childhood. See, Timothy's mother and probably her mother did with her, they would teach Timothy as a Jewish tradition, the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, because they did not yet have the new, from the first moment that child could understand, probably even before, but for sure teaching from the first moment that child could understand. Their legacy for him was teaching him again and again and again. Moms, if you're here today, one day, I wonder if others will talk about your child's faith in Christ. And if one day others talk about your child's faith in Christ, will they talk about your contribution to that faith like Paul did? Think about what Paul's doing here. He is the Apostle Paul. He is inspired by God to write this. And as he is thinking about this letter that he's writing to his young disciple, he wants to encourage him. And Timothy must have so talked about his mother and his grandmother and the faith that they passed on to him that Paul remembered it when he was writing Timothy. And he goes, you remember those stories you told me? You remember your mother? You remember your grandmother? Go back to those days and what they taught you and hold on to that and live in that legacy today. Will your children talk about their faith, and when they talk about their faith, or even better, when other people talk about your children's faith, will they remember your contribution? If they do, it will not be by accident. Because a mother must be disciplined to teach her children about faith in Christ. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to happen on accident. You must be diligent in teaching the faith to your children. It's going to take hours of your life. Let me also tell you this, moms. There's only so many hours that you have to teach them. We talked about these marbles earlier. If you're a mom here today, there's only so many weeks, like on display here, that you have to invest into your children until they turn 18. And then yet, you still have some time then. Don't buy the lie. It's not over. You can still influence them. But the greatest amount of influence that you have on your children is while they're at home. And the younger that they are, the more time that you have. The older that they get, those weeks go away. You can't get them back again. I'm going to show a picture of an app on the screen that I feel like every mom should get today. It's going to wreck you, but it's okay. Get it anyway. Go to the App Store, go to the Google Play Store, whatever you got to go to buy the apps on your phone, and go download the Parent Q app. They've just recently updated it, and it's fantastic. When you can go there now, by the way. Go to the App Store. I'm not going to judge you. I know you're not texting. Go to the App Store now. Whichever one it is. We have internet in here. Go ahead, get on it. Type in Parent Q under the search. It'll take just a second. And when you see that image, hit download. And the first thing that you're going to be asked to do, now don't do this in the service, is you're going to be asked to put in a picture of your child. And when you put in that picture of your child, you're going to be reminded of that sweet face that you see every day. Or maybe that face that you're frustrated with today because they're not obeying you, because they're crying. Whatever it is, they're going to say, put a picture in there. And they're going to ask you some questions about how old they are, what's their birth date, and these kind of things. And then the next time you log into that app and you click on their face and their profile, they're going to give you all kinds of resources to help you teach your children about faith in Christ. But then if you scroll down to the bottom of their profile, you're going to see this scary number. And it's going to represent the amount of weeks that you have left to invest into your child. I looked this week. And I saw as I clicked on Isaac's picture that I only have 324 weeks left to build this foundation of faith before he leaves the home. 324 weeks. That's nothing. If I only used one day of each one of those weeks to influence him, and you combine all those days into one year, I'd have less than a year to invest those things into him. I'm going to do more than one day a week. It reminded me, get that Bible back out, get those discipleship materials back out, and get to work. Moms and dads both, get to work. There's only so much time. As a church, we want to help. But there's nothing that connects with a child like a mother. And if done properly, the bond is unwavering and lifelong. You know, it only takes a few words from a mom to influence a child. That's the same with a dad. Today's Mother's Day, though. Dad, you don't get off the hook either, but moms, your influence is great. Dad, your influence is great. Together, you're a great team that has influence for your children. I think back to my mother and my grandmother's influence. My grandmother was the one, because of my mom's struggles and illness, that had the responsibility of getting me when I was a teenager. Guys, you remember when you were a teenager? Some of you guys right now are a teenager. I'm looking at you right now going, oh man, I'm praying for your parents. Let's be honest, man. Yeah, I'm talking to all you guys right here. Yeah, girls too. I mean, there's different struggles, but I was there as a guy, and I know that my interests were not what my grandmother wanted them to be. They were girls in sports. Yeah, it wasn't good. But sometimes it was a stiff word of her discipleship method that got me going. Sometimes it was a strong action that got my attention. I can remember, I don't know why I left it at home, but I left my truck when I was like 16 years old at home, and I had a friend take me to school. Something happened. Anyways, we're coming back. My truck had been parked there all day. And I come back with my friend, and I see my grandmother in the back of my truck in the bed with the razor blade scraping something off my back window. See, she'd been giving me strong words to remove that sticker off my back window because it was appropriate, but I intentionally kind of just ignored that because I thought the sticker was cool. So I come home that day, and here she is with the razor blade, and she's scraping it off for me. Like, what did that bumper sticker say, right? I'll tell you. It said, let's get naked. Yep. Yep, that's what it said. I'm not proud of it. Sorry. I was wrong. She was right. I didn't know to do it, so she did it for me. Moms, you need to take an active role in your life. And I thank God for her. In that moment, I was mad. I started talking about my money and my this, my that. All nonsense. That's all just a ploy to get you to stop doing what your children don't want you to do. Do it anyway. I needed it. Do it anyway. Sometimes it's a strong word. Sometimes it's a strong action. Sometimes it's a swift to the hiney. But sometimes silence speaks louder than words. My grandmother would wake up every morning, wake me up. And I can't remember a morning, to be honest, when I would pass by her in the living room and she'd be sitting in my grandfather's rocking chair, which he had passed on at that point. And she'd be sitting there and she'd be reading this Bible. She'd be sitting in that chair. Sometimes she'd be asleep. She had narcolepsy, okay, give her a break. Really, she did. I mean, sometimes she'd just fall asleep talking. Remember that, babe? Sometimes she fell asleep driving. That's not good. Okay, so most of the time, though, she was awake and had the Bible open, and she would just simply look up. I wouldn't say a word to her. She wouldn't say a word to me, and she'd stop reading, look up at me and smile like she'd been in the presence of God and get back to reading. You know, she didn't have to say anything to me. That spoke loudly, screamingly to me over the years. In fact, before she passed on, she had me, look at this binding job. She had me find somebody, and I didn't know how to do it back then, rebind her Bible because she'd used it so much it was falling apart. What are you leaving as an inheritance for your children? A faithful mother teaches her children. But dads, you don't get off the hook either. Some people look at this passage of Scripture and they say, yeah, I see grandma and I see mom there, but what's up with that? Where's dad? If I were to ask you where your faith comes from, here's the answer I want to hear. From my mom and my dad. Not just from my dad or not just from my mom, but my mom and my dad. It's a team effort. So what's up with that in Timothy's life? Well, we learn what's up with that in Acts 16:1. It says, Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy. He was the son of a Jewish woman who was also a believer. Now we know who was the daughter of a Jewish woman who was also a believer. But his father was a Greek, meaning his father was a Gentile unbeliever. His father had no active role in participation in his life. And unfortunately, this is our society too much today. Moms, I want you to notice that Timothy, nor his mother, nor his grandmother used that as an excuse. You don't see that mentioned once from Timothy or when Paul's interacting with Timothy. You just hear it as a matter of history in the book of Acts. It wasn't an excuse. When dad wasn't there, mom bore the responsibility. But fathers, I want to tell you today, don't be that dad. Are you kidding me? Don't be that inactive, unfaithful, unbelieving father. Take an active role in your child's faith. It's not just up to mom. It's a team. Do it together. Children, I'm not going to let you out of the box either. I'm not going to let you off hooked either. Dad, you got to participate. Moms, it's about you today. Obviously, the pastor says you got to do it. It leaves a great legacy of faith. Children, you got one responsibility. And if parents, if you're doing your job, which I'm going to tell you to do your job, and I'm going to pray that you do it. Children, if they're doing their job, all you got, and I'm talking to you because I see a bunch of you right here, but they're all through the audience. And by the way, this doesn't matter how old you are. It says, children, obey your parents. That's it. Children, obey your parents. Parents, you got all this responsibility. You got to be abiding with Christ. You got to have a relationship with Him. You got to do all these things. You got to have the faith so you can learn it. You can be the example. You have something to teach, and then you teach it. And then children, what you do is you obey them. And together as a team, this family unit can be a juggernaut, a hope that crushes evil in this world. Susanna Wesley was her name. She is a great example of a mother and a child working together as a team to produce some fantastic things. Susanna Wesley lived a long time ago, I'll tell you that. And she came from a family of, listen to this, moms, get excited about this. She came from a family of 25. Talk about being fruitful and multiply, right? She had 25 siblings to include herself. When she got married and she had a family of her own, she had 19 children. 19. Her husband was a minister and he'd often be out of town. As he was out of town, many times on... Yeah, we're all saying that ain't going to happen, right? 19. That's okay. Hey, that's not the point of the story, okay? Let me finish the story. That's not an expectation today. Hey, if you do that, fantastic. We need more kids in this world. But I digress. So she's having to teach all these kids running around and feed them and do all this. And her husband's out of town on Sundays often. So what she would do is take his sermons and then read those sermons to her children. And then she would take Bible stories that she knew and learned and she would share them and then read the Bible to her children. Over time, because the church didn't always have her husband as the pastor there, she would start reading to her children these sermons. And guess what the community would do? They would come to her home and they would listen. Her husband heard about it and he thought, I don't know. Is that going to reflect negatively on the ministry? Honey, I don't know if you should be doing that. And here was her answer to her husband. She says, if I am unfaithful to him or to you in neglecting to improve these talents, meaning of myself, and to my children, how shall I answer unto him when he shall command me to render an account of my stewardship? That's a strong way of saying, I feel like I should do it. So she continued, you may know a couple of her children of the 19. One of her children, his name was John Wesley. Heard him? Yeah, he's the founder of what we call the Methodist. He was a great catalyst of great awakening, both in Britain and on into America when he moved here. He had a brother. His name was Charles Wesley. Wrote thousands of hymns, many of which we sing today. From that story and from your story, Mom, I want to tell you this. The hand that rocks the cradle, that's the hand that influences the world. You just do not know the influence you have as a mother who teaches her children. Finally, we've got to end. So let's go through verse 16 and 17. I want you to see that a faithful mother is founded on and in the Scriptures. The Scriptures reveal the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mom, your job is not to make your children obedient at Walmart. Mom, your job is not to just teach your children good manners. That's helpful. Your job is to teach the Scriptures that reveal the gospel of Jesus Christ to your children. Morality, which is what you're going to spend a lot of time doing, it just says do. The gospel says done. Once your child knows the gospel and realizes that everything that they've ever needed was accomplished in Christ, they will trust in Him, and then all the morality, the do's of this world, will take care of themselves. How do you learn this? Well, you can hear it from me, but you can also read it for yourself in the Scriptures. Before we leave this text today, verse 16 and 17 are wonderful verses and connected to mother and grandmother and of Timothy that show you the benefit of the Scriptures. Most of the time, these verses are used like in a seminary classroom to teach the pastors that are there that they should be using the Scriptures in their preaching and their ministry guidance. I get this. Everything that we want to be about under my leadership will be from the Scriptures. But don't forget that this is in the context of a mother and grandmother, and it reads, all Scripture that you should be using to instruct your children so that one day they'll be saved by it and use it to get through the dark days in their life. All that Scripture is inspired by God. It means it's breathed out by Him. That's why it's so good. It's not your book. It's not my book. It's His book. And it's profitable for what? Teaching. A faithful mother teaches her children. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. Why? So that your child, that man or woman, may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Use the Scriptures, moms and dads and families, to disciple your children. Timothy had this inheritance of faith because Timothy had an inheritance of Bible reading, of Scripture intake, of Scripture reading. Let that be your children's inheritance as well. I pray that you would leave your children this inheritance of faith founded in the Scripture that brings glory to God, that they'll take up for themselves and pass it on to their children and their grandchildren as well. It's hard to talk about it, but I got to mention her on Mother's Day. My mom left me this inheritance of faith that I pray you would leave for your children. There were lots of obstacles in her life to prevent her from doing so. But she never used it as an excuse. My birth father died when I was 13 months old and left her and me alone. That was tough. She never abandoned her faith. Then she, through some bad decisions, got married again, and those difficult circumstances provided new challenges, never wavered in her faith. Not long after she was remarried, she got diagnosed with a disease called multiple sclerosis, and at the age of 30, she was put in a nursing home. And from the age of 30 to 41, she lived in a nursing home and she died there. But her legacy of faith never wavered. All of these circumstances, she didn't bring to God with excuses. What she brought to God was faithfulness. As long as her eyes could stay on the page, she would read. When they wouldn't stay on the page, she would listen. As long as she could sing praises, she would stand and sing. When she could no longer stand or speak, she would mouth the words to Christ from a chair. She didn't come with excuses, but with faithfulness. Her body wavered, her bones became brittle, her vision faded, her voice was taken, but her faith was never shaken. That's what she left me. I stopped learning those lessons physically with her when I was 21. Today I'm almost 40. There's not many days that go by that I don't think about that faithfulness, that I don't use it. Continue in the things that you have learned about Christ from those who taught them to you. Cling to them to get you through the dark days of your life. Moms, realize that you have that influence. Children, receive it and obey it. Moms, I'll leave you with this. What will be the inheritance that you leave?